This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, Suzanne, we had so much fun last time doing our What If about Seska. I figured, what if we did another What If about Voyager?
So we're doing another What If, is what you're saying.
We are going to do another What If. That is exactly what I'm saying.
And okay.
The thing I wanted to do a What If about, I wanted to talk about what would have happened had Voyager, not just if they hadn't got home, but if they were halfway home, 30 years into their journey, 30,000 light years from the Alpha Quadrant, but 30 years have passed and they are still en route.
Dude, you are so mean.
Am I always being mean to the Voyager crew?
You are, because in the Progenitors, you sent them back to the Delta Quadrant. That was all you. And now you're saying they never got home. So that's just equally as mean.
Well, what got me thinking about this, I recently watched the episode Shattered. And if you remember, Shattered is the episode where Voyager fractures into different time periods. And we get to see a tiny glimpse of Voyager's future. We get to see a future Naomi Wildman. We get to see a future Icheb in Astrometrics. And it's just a little tidbit of what future Voyager would be like. I thought it would be really fun to just brainstorm, compare notes, compare ideas on what a future Voyager would be like 30 years into the future or thereabouts.
But I don't have to stick with the future we saw in Shattered, where Janeway and Chakotay are dead.
No, absolutely not. We can keep them alive. We can make them still dead, whatever suits our fancies. We can explore different possible futures for Voyager.
Okay. I think I can work with that.
You raised an interesting point right off the bat. Like, what would happen in 30 years? Presumably, there would be some deaths in 30 years. There are some older crew members already. Although Voyager's a pretty young crew overall, there aren't that many old people on Voyager you see wandering around in the corridors. But presumably after 30 years, some people would have died. So we can go any direction here. Like, you obviously clearly don't want Captain Janeway and Chakotay to be dead after 30 years. Although it's a distinct possibility that they might be. Although people live a long time in the 24th century.
They do. I mean, well, there is an old person on Voyager. His name is Tuvok. And in Endgame, he had that brain disease. So, I'm guessing since Tuvok hasn't had contact with a Vulcan family member, unfortunately, Tuvok is no longer with us.
It's interesting you say that, because when I first started thinking about this idea, I had kind of run with the Shattered idea that maybe Captain Janeway and Chakotay were both gone, or maybe they're retired. Maybe they're just tired of running the show after 30 years and they want to do something else. Probably not, but I could see that happening. But my first idea was like, let's assume that they're gone and Tuvok is now captain, because Tuvok would be kind of next in line. But you're saying even that's not a possibility. Even if we lose Captain Janeway and Commander Chakotay, Tuvok can't be captain either because he's got this brain disease.
Yeah, he's got that disease that he would die without contact with a family member. So yeah, Tuvok's going to be gone. And I do predict that Harry Kim is still an ensign.
After 30 years. You'd think as everyone else gets promoted that Harry Kim would get a little promotion too. At least he'd be a lieutenant junior grade after 30 years.
No.
But at that point, it's become so much of a part of his own identity, just being Ensign Kim.
Exactly. It's his name. He legally changed his name to Ensign. And Harry is his middle name.
Ensign H. Kim. I don't think we ever really learn in Shattered, that little glimpse of the future that we do get, who is actually captain then at that point, right? They don't actually say it in Shattered, do they?
No, they don't.
Well, that's a shame. Now I want to know. That's what we're here for.
Well, maybe it's nobody we knew.
A totally different captain.
Or maybe it's Miral.
I have to digest that one for a minute. Captain Miral of the Starship Voyager. It has a nice ring to it.
It could happen. Miral Paris, captain.
Yeah, it is really interesting because you sort of naturally assume that there'd be a natural progression, like as older people get old and die or retire, that the people who are next in line will work their way up. So you kind of just assume that there's this gradual transition of chains of command over decades, right? You know, this isn't something that would happen overnight. This is, you know, year after year after year, old people would die or retire and younger people would take their place. But Miral is like the youngest person on the ship. So for her to work her way up, she would have to do something extraordinary to skip over Harry Kim and skip over B'Elanna or skip over anyone.
Well, she's an exceptional person. And it, honestly, it doesn't take much to skip over Harry. I'm sure both Icheb and Naomi have done so already.
So you don't actually foresee a Captain Icheb, is what you're saying?
No.
It's more fun to think about Miral, though. I don't know why. Oh, I don't definitely get excited about Captain Icheb. That idea does not thrill me. As much as I love Manu's work as Icheb, I don't think Captain Icheb is a good idea.
No, I don't think he likes to leave Astrometrics. Speaking of Astrometrics, that brings up another point. Where's Seven? Is Seven still with us?
Oh, that's a really good question. I had kind of forgotten that Seven is there.
How can you forget about Jeri Ryan, dude?
No, I didn't forget about her in general. I just kind of, she wasn't top of mind when I was thinking about the future chain of command for Voyager, because she's not really in the chain of command per se, right? So are you saying she would be part of the chain of command now? Would she get a command position? What would she be doing?
She could be captain.
Captain 7 of 9 of the Starship Voyager.
No, just Captain 7. She dropped the of 9. Just like Harry changed his name to Ensign, she is just now 7.
Captain S of 9?
No, she dropped the of 9. There is no more of 9. Okay. It's like Madonna. She's just 7.
I think it would be much funnier if everyone called her Captain of 9.
No. Just no.
I didn't even get a laugh. I must not be on my game tonight.
No, I'm on the Dayquil. That's what it is. Other things could have happened. They meet up with other Starfleet ships. Because other ships had been pulled into the Delta Quadrant for years by the Caretaker. Perhaps, you know, they've met up with these ships with less crazy people than Ransom, and they added some of them to their crew, or it's like a wagon train and there's multiple ships all heading towards the Alpha Quadrant.
Do you think it's possible, speaking of the Equinox, that the Equinox crew members that are just serving as crewmen, from what we know, could they redeem themselves at a certain point? Could they be reinstated as officers?
I don't see why not.
You think after 5 years or 10 years, they've done their time, they've learned their lesson, and they would, you know, at least start over as ensigns.
Yeah, again. I mean, honestly, they can't be held accountable for their captain's actions. And poor Noah Lessing, he was almost murdered. So give that guy a break.
You know the character from Equinox that I could see redeeming herself? Because she seemed like she was one of the people who was least comfortable with what was going on in Equinox. The blonde woman, Ensign Marla Gilmore. I could see her redeeming herself and becoming a normal part of the Voyager crew. Even more so than the other newly demoted Equinox, former
Even
Equinox
more so than Noah Lessing? Captain Janeway tried to kill him.
You're saying he learned his lesson because Captain Janeway tried to kill him.
No, he deserves more of a break.
I think he's holding a grudge. No, I think he's holding a grudge. I don't think he ever gets better.
Dude, wouldn't you hold a grudge if the captain tries to kill you?
That's what I'm saying. There's no way he's redeeming himself because he has a grudge.
Even in 30 years. I don't agree with that. I'm all for Lessing. I don't know what he'd be doing in 30 years, but hey, he might be dead. He might have died on an away mission.
Well, we've kind of been focusing on the captain role. Someone has to be captain in 30 years. We have a couple of possibilities. It could be Seven of Nine. It could be Miral. It's a little hard for me to imagine what realistic circumstance would allow Miral to obtain captaincy over
She had a bat left and was command. But willing I love the to idea. Use it.
She went all Klingon on everyone, you're saying. Like she worked her way up the ranks Klingon style.
Why not? To heck with these Starfleet rules.
I can see that staying in the realm of realistic possibility is not our strong suit anymore.
I like to jazz things up, make it fun.
But even if there's some ambiguity about who exactly would be captain, there are a bunch of other roles to fill, right? There's someone still has to be at ops. Someone still has to be driving the ship. Someone has to be doing security. Someone's got to be cooking the meals in the mess hall, Neelix or not Neelix. Someone's got to be chief engineer. So we have a bunch of roles we have to fill. I think a fun idea for me is to think about what if all of the characters we have come to know and love are still around, or maybe they're dead, but they're not in the chain of command anymore. Like, they've all retired. They've been doing it for 30 years. They're done. So they could even still be around doing something else. Like, you know, maybe Chakotay just wants to focus on archaeology for a while.
He's whittling.
He's busy whittling something for Captain Janeway. Former Captain Janeway in his quarters.
Who has now promoted herself to Admiral.
Can you do that? Can you give yourself a field promotion to Admiral? Why not?
Why not?
There's no one else out there. She can do anything she wants, right?
Especially if they have the wagon train of ships, then they need an admiral to lead them.
The wagon train to the stars.
Well, no, if they've met up with all these other Starfleet ships that have been pulled into the Delta Quadrant by the caretaker before them.
I've got it. So they have a very small fleet, you know, 5 ships, 10 ships, whatever. And someone has to be in charge, not just of their own individual ship, but of
exactly.
the fleet, a small fleet in the Delta Quadrant of ships. So Captain Janeway, being the most senior for some reason we don't really understand, has decided that that there needs to be an admiral in charge of these ships. So she gives herself a field promotion to admiral. Is that a loophole in the rules of promotions in Starfleet?
Possibly. She got it through the Midas Array. Maybe Admiral Paris made her an admiral to be in charge of all these ships. Because don't you think they'd still be in contact through the Midas Array?
After 30 years, I would hope so, unless they're outside of its range, like they went a different direction or something.
Why would they do that? Maybe the
It uses a micro singularity, right? Isn't that how the Midas Array works?
I don't know, Reg Barclay. I didn't quite understand it.
I think it had something to do with a micro singularity, if memory serves. I could be totally wrong. If I'm wrong, you know our listeners are going to go, you guys were totally wrong. It wasn't a micro singularity. But whatever it is, maybe that only has a certain, like a field of view, like a target. You know, like if you're outside the field of view, like in the wrong focus area, then it doesn't work anymore. So maybe, maybe not.
So you're saying they're no longer in contact with Starfleet then? After she got her promotion to Admiral, it was...
I honestly think the whole Voyager story is a little more interesting without contact with the Alpha Quadrant. But I like the idea of them being stranded. That's an essential part of how I think of Voyager. And you're always making fun of me for thinking that. You think I'm mean for wanting to strand them again.
Do you think they updated their uniforms before they lost contact? Or are they still wearing the same old jumpsuits? Okay.
But they didn't update them even after they contacted the Alpha Quadrant.
But we didn't have much time after they contacted them. You know, there were only a few episodes after that before Endgame.
That would have been a really interesting way to end, actually, in Endgame, or maybe a couple episodes before, to change the uniforms right at the very end of Voyager. That would just be so weird.
I'd be like, hey, weren't you having an energy shortage? You went and changed your uniforms. How did you get the energy to do that?
And now they can replicate all the uniforms? After 7 years, they've got the energy?
But that also brings up another thing. They're still in Borg space. So how many times are they going to keep encountering them?
They are.
And maybe they encountered them and they're gone. Voyager's gone. Voyager's destroyed.
You're saying there is no 30 years because they were destroyed 20 years in.
That could be a possibility.
That makes for a very short discussion.
It does, but... Or there were escape pods and then they met up with some other Starfleet ships. So they're on a different ship.
Oh, so you're...
So there's no...
I see.
There's so no like a Voyager radically different ship, direction.
There is no more Voyager.
But there's still some Voyager crew left.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. When the Enterprise is gone and the entire movie takes place with no Enterprise. It's Star Trek with no Enterprise. It's so weird when you think about it. And yet it was one of the more popular movies. I could see that being a really interesting take on Voyager. Voyager, the ship we've come to know and love, has been destroyed. And we have all the characters that we love. But they're in a totally different situation now. Different ship, in escape pods, in something else. Can there be a Voyager without Voyager?
Do we get to see George and Gracie in this?
Space whales?
I want George and Gracie, damn it.
This is a bit of a tangent, but you've come to expect that from me. But are you a Garfield fan? Like the comic strip, Garfield?
Dude, let me pan over. I don't know if you can see all of them. There are Garfields right behind me.
There are Garfields literally everywhere behind you. That's amazing. This is a totally coincidental thing. Have you seen Garfield minus Garfield?
No, I have not.
It's a website, and I think you can actually buy a book now. Someone has taken the time to remove Garfield from all of the Garfield comic strips. And what it does is show how exactly neurotic John is for always talking to himself when Garfield never actually talks back to him. And it's amazing. It totally reveals that John Arbuckle is this massively neurotic individual. And so I'm kind of picturing something like that, where we have Voyager minus Voyager.
But did you see the strip with Garfield and John was just a figment of his imagination and he was in an abandoned house?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh my gosh. I think I clued
out of Garfield at a certain point.
Oh, it is so sad and so depressing. So I don't recommend it, but yeah.
Well, that's your homework assignment. Go check out Garfield minus Garfield.
Just go read all the Garfield. Because I also hate Mondays. I love lasagna. And I'm not short, I'm under tall.
Actually, if you want a really retro Garfield reference, how about a nap attack?
Ah, nap attack! Yes. I think I had that poster.
We are showing our age.
No, I just like retro things, that's all.
But seriously, some of the best Star Trek has taken what people think of as essential to Star Trek and removed it. Like Star Trek IV removes the Enterprise from the picture, and it's an amazing movie. And people were complaining about the Enterprise D, like, and Captain Picard. Like, how can you have Star Trek without Captain Kirk when the Next Generation started, right? And it was a great show. So can you have Voyager where you take away as many of the essential elements of Voyager as possible, and what would remain, and how awesome would it be? It's a really fun idea to think about.
It would still be Voyager. It would just be Voyager morphing into a new role. That's all. I mean, the only constant in the universe is change.
So do you see them meandering around in escape pods, or do you see them merging with a crew on another Starfleet ship that's stranded? How do you see this? Just running with your idea here.
Starting out in escape pods and then finding more ships with Starfleet crews, or even Ferengi, Romulan. You could throw in all different Alpha Quadrant species and have them all joining together to get home.
So it's not just a bunch of Starfleet ships. It's Admiral Janeway in charge of a bunch of random Alpha Quadrant ships, Klingons and Ferengi and Romulans. And
common desire is to get home. That's why they're working together.
Under the intrepid Admiral Janeway.
Yes.
I gotta say, I like that version of Admiral Janeway way better than we're back in the Bun of Steel Admiral Janeway that we saw in Nemesis.
Yeah, no, I don't like that Admiral Janeway.
You think if you're going to make Admiral Janeway an admiral, give her something to do. She should be out there in the field somewhere.
Yeah, not stuck at a desk. That's no fun.
We know that some admirals have their own ships. We see this in The Next Generation at the end with All Good Things, right? Admiral Riker has his own ship. So maybe Admiral Janeway has her own ship and she's a field admiral.
Maybe it's the Delta Flyer. Maybe that survived. That piece of Voyager survived the Delta.
That's a Flyer. Very small ship for her for an admiral to have.
Hey, it's either that or an escape pod. What do you want?
Admiral Janeway in her escape pod. I love it. She's commanding the whole fleet from an escape pod. If anyone could pull that off, it would be Janeway.
She can only have a few people over for meetings at a time.
Her ready room would be quite a bit smaller than it used to be.
Standing room only.
It's not just a standing room only, it's a standing ready room only.
Oh, do I hear crickets? Yes, crickets. Zach must have made a joke.
Yeah, I guess I had kind of assumed that Voyager would be okay after 30 years, that it would turn into a generational ship. It's a radical idea to dismiss Voyager altogether, to think that it's destroyed, take away that essential element of Voyager. Is that, you like that idea better than exploring what life on Voyager would be like after 30 years in the ordinary sense? Because I also just kind of like the mundane everyday sense of time passing aboard a ship.
I do like that idea better because it seems a little more realistic. They keep getting into conflicts with people, with the Borg, with other species, whatever. And constantly Voyager's back to normal. I'm throwing away the reset button. It's gone.
If they have enough resources to build the Delta Flyer in the first place, can't they build their own fleet?
What do you think Chakotay's whittling away at in his escape pod?
So need more ships, need more ships. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
On a deadline.
As I think about time passing in the ordinary sense on Voyager, like some of the crew members get old and some of them die, at a certain point, what if all of them are gone except for one? Like if there's one last person from the group who is the lingering, last surviving member of the original crew of Voyager after 30 years, maybe 40 years, after 50 years, like we can extend it a little bit. Who would be that one last person, assuming it's not Tuvok because of his brain disease?
So kind of like the Betty White of Voyager is what you're looking for?
The Betty White Golden Girls analogy is exactly what I'm looking for.
Who would the Golden last Girl be?
Who would the Golden Girl be? That is the question.
Besides the Doctor, because the Doctor, you know.
Yes, the Doctor doesn't count. Unless he starts aging himself, too. Just to kind of fit in. I don't know. Why would he do that?
Why did Data do that?
It could be Seven of Nine. Maybe Seven of Nine has gone from, you know, naive and innocent when we first meet her to, you know, a totally risque sense of humor like Betty White in her old age.
I'm definitely going to go Tom Paris. Tom is the last member.
Well, that's a really interesting idea because Tom Paris, in a way, has the most to learn at the beginning of Voyager. And it would be really interesting to see him, after 30 years, become the inheritor of everything he's learned in 30 years on the journey.
Think about him as old as McCoy was at the beginning of The Next Generation.
137 years.
So Tom walking through the corridors, you know, all grumpy and grouchy. I can totally see that.
I could actually picture Tom being nostalgic about everything. Like he walks by the brig and he's like, I remember when I was in the brig for 30 days back in my day.
Oh, so we're back on Voyager and Voyager's not destroyed then.
Oh, I could go either way. I think it's interesting.
Did you hit a reset button on me?
Yes, I guess I did.
Ah, I said no more reset buttons.
I guess I could see this going either way, really. I find it interesting to have everyone just living and aging and growing old and dying and replenishing the crew on Voyager. I also find it interesting to have all those things happen not on Voyager. So it's kind of Voyager destruction agnostic. So you keep wanting to take me off Voyager, and I keep wanting to pull you back on Voyager.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
It's what I do. It's what I'm here for, Suzanne.
Like I'm stuck in The Godfather 3.
Pull you back in the realm of reality here.
No!
So Tom is now the elder statesman. Mm-hmm. We have Admiral Janeway in charge of a fleet of something, either some escape pods or small Delta flyers that they made or some random Alpha Quadrant ships or other Starfleet ships
that
have been pulled into the... All of the above.
All
so it's
of
a fairly large fleet. It's like 30 things, some of which are small, some of which are large.
Why not?
We haven't quite decided whether she received a promotion from Admiral Paris or whether she self-promoted herself. I kind of like the idea that she could give herself a self-promotion. I hereby promote, give myself a field promotion to Admiral.
She's looking in the mirror and doing it.
I guess if you're the last surviving crew member, can you give yourself a field promotion to anything you want?
I don't see who's going to stop you. So why not?
That's right. I had kind of assumed that you could only promote up to your certain level. Like past that, you can't give any promotions. But
who's going to be there to point all of this out and say, no, you can't do that?
Really, this is a question I have in general about any level of rank in Starfleet. Can a lieutenant give a field promotion to an ensign and make that ensign a lieutenant?
I do not know.
I don't know either. Or is it only captains and admirals that can do that?
Are you trying to get Harry promoted? Is this why you're asking?
Harry kind of elbows Tom and says, hey, Tom, can you give me a field promotion? I need it bad.
You know Tom wouldn't do that. He'd just laugh at him and walk away.
It's like, oh, Harry, get used to it.
No, remember, he changed his name to Ensign.
Ensign.
Oh, Ensign.
H.M. Actually, at a certain point, that would become the curse word on Voyager. Ensign H. Kim.
Oh, kind of like Janeway's the curse word on the time ship.
Yes.
Janeway!
Okay, so we're fleshing out our idea. This is kind of, I almost feel like we're doing the progenitors again, but with a different idea. And that's okay. This is a great what if, so.
You're happy that they're just still in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, I don't want Voyager to get home. I don't. I totally don't.
Dude, that's just mean.
I like the emotional moment of them getting home. That's what I like about Endgame, seeing them get home, even though it's a really abbreviated moment at the end. But fundamentally, I think it's a more interesting show if they're stuck somewhere.
So why not have them stuck with multiple species and ships trying to make their way home?
Do you think the members of these other species are just going to be okay with Admiral Janeway being in command of them now?
They'll act like they are.
Would there be dissension in the ranks?
Of course. That's what it will make the show. There'll be constant infighting because there's still people that don't get along with other people. But then they have the common goal of trying to get home. So it'll be like inner turmoil.
Always. So it's Admiral Janeway and the HMS Bounty. Got it.
And then throw in other people attacking them off and on.
It's interesting because I feel pulled in two directions. Like, on the one hand, I want to see older versions of all of our crew members that we love. But on the other hand, I think it's fun to think about what would happen if those people had to be replaced, like a totally different, younger version of Voyager with younger crew members who've replaced them over the years. I'm torn about which way I would actually go if I were writing this.
Well, then you'd have to, you know, start having the crew creating replacements, which they weren't doing.
They better get busy.
They need to get busy. But out, out.
Wow. Busy. They deal with this inside the show a little bit. I remember a conversation between Captain Janeway and Chakotay about the fact that Voyager could become a generational ship, and in about 30 years, they're going to need replacement crew, which is what spawned the idea for this episode. But
And that was when they found out that Samantha Wildman was pregnant. That's what brought about that conversation. Yet after that, nobody's pairing off. Nobody's making extra crew members. They all dropped the ball. I think, possibly, that Leola Root could be the saltpeter of the Delta Quadrant. You have nothing.
I have no response to that.
I mean, why else would this not happen? Why would people not be pairing off? And nobody's making babies.
We do see a couple of people pairing off inside Voyager. Like, we got a couple making out in the turbo lift at one point. Fraternization, as Chakotay called it.
The only other time we see it is Tom and B'Elanna. It's like, there are more people on this ship than just Tom and B'Elanna. Somebody else has to be, you know, dating, getting married, and making the babies, or just making the babies.
That's a long time for people to repress their urges.
It is! So that's why Leola Root is the Delta Quadrant saltpeter.
There's an element of what we see in Voyager that goes against human nature, I will grant you that.
Yes. That many people on a ship, somebody has to be getting the hots for somebody else.
I would think in a confined space like that, it happens all the time, I would think.
Yeah. That or even, you know, a crew member has an urge to have a child, male or female. You know, the doctor could help them with that, fertility. I mean, are you asking all of these crew members to suppress their desire to have a child?
I think Captain Janeway pretty much says explicitly that she doesn't want to prohibit such things.
So why didn't they?
Maybe just no one likes anyone else on Voyager.
I do not believe that. Not for one minute. Or even different species that they come across along the way. You know, they're on shore leave somewhere. Somebody meets someone, and there's an instant connection. They're like, hey, why don't you come on Voyager, join the crew, or just, you know, stay with me, and they start a family. Why didn't that happen?
I think that's a fun idea, actually. Just random aliens over time joining the crew because they get paired up with someone on Voyager because of shore leave or an away mission or whatever.
Well, we had Neelix and Cass, though. You can't get more random than those two. And at this point, neither one of them are still there.
I guess not. What happened to Neelix and Cass after 30 years? Oh, Cass is gone. Yeah, obviously.
Neelix stayed with the Talaxians because he was looking at their lungs for replacements.
That's right. So we are assuming everything up till Endgame except for Endgame happened.
Exactly.
And so Neelix is gone, mm-hmm. and Kes is dead.
Yes.
And that's the end of Kes and Neelix for good.
Yes.
Who's doing the cooking?
Chell.
He does the laundry. He does cooking.
No, didn't he take Neelix's place? I could have sworn he did.
I guess he did, and I hadn't really thought about it until right this moment, but
so
yes.
We need to find a laundry replacement.
So you're saying there's not just a changing of the guard and the chain of command, whether on Voyager or not. There's also a change in maintenance responsibilities. Who does the laundry? Who gets to do the dishes? That kind of
thing. Exactly.
But even after 30 years, Chell, we need a replacement Chell.
Can you ever really replace Chell? Really? I say no. Maybe they've found different energy sources and they can use the replicators more often so they don't need a Chell or a Neelix.
Actually, you know what Chell would be doing? You know how he has to hide that like porn star medallion that he's got from Tuvok? Now that he's cooking in the mess hall, he totally gets to rock it.
As long as his shirt isn't unbuttoned and he has a hairy chest, I'm okay with that.
Like the 1970s version of Chell.
Exactly. 1970s Chell.
Do Bullions get that hairy? I don't know.
I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Oh, you get hairy in Dorians, right? They got hair, mm-hmm. sort of. Bullions don't have a lot of hair.
That we know of. So, I mean, we've never seen a shirtless Bullion, have we?
Not that I can recall, unless it would be in sick bay or something like that, but I can't recall an incident of a shirtless Bullion.
How do you know that they're not hairy-chested.
I kind of love the idea that, like, from the neck down, they're covered in hair, but they're bald on top. Kind of like Captain Picard with his shirt off a little bit.
Hey, don't mess with Picard.
He's pretty hairy.
We did not see him enough with his shirt off. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got distracted there for a moment.
You're just lingering on that for a moment, I can tell. You just pause. Oh, it's a dramatic pause. We didn't get to see him with his shirt off often enough. Pause. So Chell is no longer doing anything after 30 years.
How long do Bolians live?
Are they more like Vulcans or are they more like Okampans? I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know how long Bolians live, so I'm going to guess he was about 50-ish when we saw him. So possibly if they don't live very long, he's no longer with us.
He kind of jogs around the cargo bay like he's 50.
He did. It's like...
Well, one of the people that we do see in that episode, Shattered, is Naomi Wildman. I don't want to worry about Icheb. I don't like the idea of Captain Icheb. I don't know what Icheb is doing, but it's not anything important.
Well, no, especially because he didn't look anything like Manu. Nothing at all like Manu. It's like, wait a minute. Kind of like when they showed older Wesley in The Next Generation.
Yes.
He didn't look anything like Will Wheaton, and we're supposed to buy that? Like, no, I don't think so.
It's hard to foresee how people are going to age, right? You got to find something similar. In both cases, they went really straight-laced, right? Mm-hmm. Both, yeah. Will Wheaton and Manu Interrame have aged. They look way more interesting than their future versions of themselves inside
Definitely,
their shows.
But you can still see the younger self in there.
There's a gleam in their eye. There's
that
certain je ne sais quoi. So I don't like the idea of old Icheb doing anything important. I don't find it interesting. But I do think Naomi Wildman has had ambitions on Voyager from the moment she became conscious enough to have them. So what would Naomi be doing after?
From the moment she was transported out of her mother?
Yes, the fetal transport is one of the coolest things in Voyager, by the way.
Yeah.
But what would Naomi be doing? She's got to be playing an important role. She may not be captain, but what would she be doing?
I say first officer.
Yes, that's a good idea. It's like literally the captain's assistant. That's all she knows there how to be. I don't want to be captain. I just want to be the captain's assistant.
First officer.
All the way up to executive officer.
Exactly.
So we have Commander Naomi Wildman.
Which would make more sense if Seven is captain.
Okay, you just sold me on the Captain Seven idea. I wasn't really sold, but now I totally am. Because Naomi Wildman has been Seven's sidekick all along, right? Yes. She just follows Seven around everywhere. And that's why it made sense for her to be in Astrometrics inside Shattered. Mm-hmm. But if Seven is now not in Astrometrics anymore, there's no reason for Naomi to be there either, because Naomi just wants to hang out with Seven the whole time. So if Seven's on the bridge, Naomi's got to be on the bridge right there next to her, and she's first officer.
Exactly. And the only reason she was in Astrometrics was to get information from Icheb, who is now the head of Astrometrics.
Yes, I am all for putting Icheb down in Astrometrics and he can stay there for 30 years. That's fine with me.
He will be so happy there, so it's good.
I had just kind of assumed that Naomi was working in Astrometrics too in Shattered. Maybe she just happened to be stopping by. That's a great idea.
Yeah. She was just there for some information. But
she's wearing the wrong color uniform to be first officer. She's wearing gold inside Shattered. But that was only 17 years later, right? That wasn't 30 years later. Mm-hmm. So 17 years into the journey, we have whatever rank Naomi had. It was lieutenant or lieutenant commander or something. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, for some reason we've yet to figure out, Seven becomes captain,
yes,
which you've sold me on now, and we have Commander Naomi Wildman in red on the bridge. I love it.
Well, no, you don't always have to go by the colors of the uniform, because when Tuvok took over as captain, when Chakotay and Janeway were on New Earth, he was still wearing the yellow.
Yeah, I wonder why. I mean, it was, in his mind, it was just a temporary arrangement, I guess. But I, well, no,
because
they had
Because they were moving on. And he wasn't going to contact anybody for a cure. So maybe at this point, they're just recycling uniforms and it doesn't matter who's wearing what because everybody knows everybody.
It's also possible that he's just so tall that no one else's uniform fit and they were going to make another one just for that episode. Because Tim Russ is pretty tall.
Or the one with the red shoulders was in the laundry.
Yes. Kind of like when Riker is wearing Sisko's uniform in Generations.
Yeah.
That, which totally explains that, because they weren't going to make another, they just needed a uniform, and that was the only one that would fit, like, so that's what they put it in. There you go,
try this on.
Gotta get this done quick, we don't have time to stitch a uniform. We don't have Garrick here to sew it for us, so. So I do think after 30 years, if she's first officer, she's got the real uniform, they would have bit the bullet on the replicator rations and just replicated her a uniform.
That's if they have a ship that has replicators.
Right, okay.
I'm taking them off of Voyager again.
I'm pulling you back onto Voyager. No. It's a tug of war.
They could use the replicator in the Delta Flyer. How about that? If Admiral Janeway lets them.
But they can't all fit on the Delta Flyer.
No, she has a few people on at a time.
Like a revolving door. Just like,
kind of.
Come aboard ship. Have some dinner in my very small captain's mess. We'll have a little conversation at my very small ready room table.
As long as she's not cooking the dinner, it's okay.
And then go home at the end of the evening. Got it.
I could totally see her doing that, keeping in contact with her crew. Just checking in on everyone.
So if Voyager is now destroyed, and we have Admiral Janeway aboard the Delta Flyer as her command station, what exactly is Captain Seven captain of, and what exactly is First Officer Naomi Wildman First Officer of?
Don't you think they would have bartered for a ship along the way? I mean, coming across all these different planets and all these different people, they could have made some sort of arrangement and bought a ship to join, you know, the other ships that they have, the Ferengi and the...
Sure, okay, I see this. So Voyager's gone, and it's not like they commandeered another Alpha Quadrant ship. Like, they didn't take over the Ferengi ship or the Romulan ship now in the Delta Quadrant. They have bartered for a ship. That's a pretty hefty price. What does Voyager have to offer to justify getting a ship in return?
Well, we don't know what the Ferengi have, or the Romulans have, or the Klingons have.
Lots of latinum on the Ferengi ship.
But you know they're not going to part with that, so what else do they have? No, but if they run across a species that really likes Leola root, they got it made, because you know they have tons of Leola root in stock. You know there had to be a couple of escape pods just filled with Leola root because there was so much of it anyway, so they have that to trade.
So you're saying at some point, the Voyager crew... minus Voyager, with a couple of escape pods filled with Leola root, because they still have to eat.
Yeah, they have to eat.
They encounter some alien species that wants Leola root so much, it's the most important thing to them, and they're willing to trade a starship for it. And they, and someone in this wayward Voyager crew, minus Voyager, says, "We've got you covered," and they get their new starship that is not a Starfleet ship. I do like this idea that somewhere in the Delta Quadrant, there's this one race of people where Leola root is like latinum to them. Gold pressed Leola root.
Or they've never tried it before, and once they try it, they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? We have to have more.
I kind of picture that being like Pleasure Man, but...
Haven't you ever tried something for the first time and been like, I must have more of this. This is amazing.
You don't think that would be Pleasure Man?
It could be, but I'm not thinking of him because it grosses me out.
Do you have any Leola root?
Somehow I don't even see Pleasure Man wanting Leola root, but some other bizarro species might.
Okay, so they've got a new starship now, and that is what Captain Seven is captain of, and Commander Wildman is...
Yes, a new, slightly used starship. A certified pre-owned starship.
A slightly used starship. So even all these things that have happened to the crew of Voyager in 30 years, people getting old and dying, replacement crew, being aboard a different ship, trading Leal route, the whole shebang that we just talked about. Is the mission still to get home to the Alpha Quadrant? Is that still their reason for being?
That is the mission for everyone in the wagon train. The Ferengi, the Romulans, everybody just wants to get home. Yes, and that's what keeps them together is that common drive to get home.
So rather than one ship, one crew, she's now given an inspirational one fleet, one crew speech. So I'm trying to think of other things that could have changed after 30 years. We've changed a lot of things. Some crew members are gone, dead, or like in Neelix's case, got left behind at a certain point. Some are still around. We've got Admiral Janeway.
Yes.
We've got Elder Statesman Tom Paris, who's not really Elder Statesman if he's not the sole survivor anymore. But a lot of change. What else haven't we talked about that would change after 30 years aboard a starship? Even a different starship.
What's going on with the Doctor? We haven't really touched on that. Other than he might age himself to go along with everybody else.
He would almost certainly have a name. I don't know if it would be Joe.
It's got to be Joe. In honor of Joe Carey.
I think they just call him Dr. J.
Only if he plays basketball.
Actually, that would be awesome if you took the name Julius Irving. Dr. Julius Irving. That would be amazing.
That would be so cool.
He coaches the kids' basketball team in the holodeck.
I could see that. Although if they're not on Voyager, they don't have a holodeck.
Maybe the new ship has a holodeck.
It might. Okay.
Maybe they just built an old-fashioned basketball court in the cargo bay.
I like that idea.
Okay, so this is getting a little ridiculous, but it's hilarious, so we're running with it. The Doctor is not Dr. Joe. He is Dr. Julius Irving. And he spends his spare time coaching kids basketball with a real basketball court in the new ship's cargo bay.
I like this.
And people call him Dr. J.
Dr. J. But he's going to need some hair to be Dr. J.
He'd have to grow an afro. You think he modifies his program to have an afro? So I don't know if the Doctor likes basketball, but we do know he's a sports fan from his time spent on that planet with the weird temporal out of syncness in the blink of an eye. So he's primed to be a basketball fan. You think he names his team Lakeside in honor of his former life on that planet?
I could see that, but then they have to have an opposing team, because who are they going to play against?
And presumably there'd need to be a lake nearby.
Well, no, they could just be named Lakeside. So, I mean, they could just play different ships. So each ship could have its own team.
Okay, I like this. So we have, what is the new ship called? It's not Voyager 2. No. Maybe it is. Maybe they call the new ship Voyager.
Oh,
why
no.
Not?
I don't know. No.
No? Just, okay.
You don't do that.
It could happen.
Oh.
Well, you don't think they would call it the Voyager A?
No.
Even though it's not a Starfleet ship? That's a cool idea, isn't it?
No.
Just you're not like that idea.
And I'm sure the ship came with a name. They usually do. So would they keep the name it came with or give it another name?
Like some random alien's name for the ship? That,
why not?
But like the universal translated version of it?
Yeah, why not? Unless it's something, you know, X-rated.
But these people love Leola Root so much, they might have named it Leola Root. The USS Leola Root.
They could have. We're going to go with that. It is the Leola Root. Neelix would be so proud.
In honor of their favorite root vegetable. Yes. Okay, so it's not the USS Leola root, but that is a hilarious idea. But what else could it be? If you were going to name this not quite Starfleet ship a non-Voyager name. I still think it'd be cool as the Voyager A, but...
Unless it looks somewhat similar to Voyager, then no, it can't be the Voyager A. Because, I mean, even the Enterprises looked somewhat similar to each other.
A little bit. I mean, they evolve over time, over four.
But still, you can see it in there.
Yes.
I mean, if, say, they buy a ship that looks like the Millennium Falcon, they're not going to name that Voyager. And if Tom is still around, he's going to name it the Millennium Falcon. Because it'd be like, dude, it's the ship from Star Wars.
You don't think it's a fun idea to have this old rust bucket of a starship that they have decided to name, proudly name Voyager, solely because they are on it and solely in honor of the fallen Voyager ship? Do you think they would go the other way? Do you think they'd call it the Valjean?
Oh, I don't know if Chakotay would like that. That might make him sad for his little ship that he lost.
Where is Chakotay in this picture? So we have Admiral Janeway.
He's still trying to whittle things. Remember, he was trying to whittle more ships. That's just something to keep him busy.
So you're saying he's ceased serving a useful function. He's not in the chain of command. He's not like Admiral Janeway's aide or anything like that, right?
No, he might actually have his grandfather's disease, which we heard about in the fight. So maybe they just give him these tasks, like, here, whittle this, just to keep him busy.
That's so sad.
It is sad.
This is so sad, though. I can picture Chakotay sitting there, whittling away, thinking he's serving a useful function, doing some good, helping the effort, and really, it's an enormous waste of time. That is so sad. You think I'm mean? You're mean to Chakotay.
I am never mean to Chakotay.
I just kind of assumed maybe he really did die and he's just not there anymore.
No. I would rather have Chakotay be there and not be there mentally than have him dead.
I see.
I can't let go of Chakotay. I can't.
So the name USS Valjean is out of the picture.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So, Suzanne, I'm going down the mental list. We've talked about Janeway, who's now Admiral. We've talked about Chakotay, who's whittling away in his quarters, thinking he's being useful, but really he's not. We have Captain Seven aboard some unnamed alien ship. Neelix is gone. Kes is dead. Yes. Tom Paris may or may not be an elder statesman. We have First Officer Naomi Wildman.
Yes.
We have Echeb doing double shifts down in Astrometrics. The new Astrometrics. Mm-hmm. Not the old Astrometrics, the new one. I feel like we've missed an obvious crew member here that we haven't talked about. We have not talked about future B'Elanna 30 years later.
Perhaps she died on an away mission. And Tom was left to raise morale all by himself.
That's so sad. You want to kill B'Elanna off?
You wanted to kill Chakotay and Janeway off. Don't start with me.
It's just like, are we sparring about which character we're going to kill off? Well, you wanted to kill Chakotay. You wanted to kill B'Elanna. So B'Elanna is dead, and Tom has raised Miral all by himself, and Miral is 30, and she has not worked her way up the ranks Klingon style. We took that off the table pretty early.
Yeah, that would have been cool, though.
But Tom had to raise her himself because of B'Elanna's untimely death that transpired in some way we haven't figured out.
I just think it happened like Joe Carey did. That's all. Just random and for no obvious reason. Let's kill this character.
Okay. Well, you know what I like about this idea? Because I was thinking after 30 years, we shouldn't have the whole crew together after 30 years and just have a bunch of old people on the ship. Like, that's not a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like, having a couple of them around for familiarity and a couple of them that are gone or dead is the right mix, I think. That's what happens in real life. Some people stay in the game for the long haul and some people don't.
Yeah.
Dr. Julius Erving is in it for the long haul.
Oh, absolutely. Don't mess with Dr. J.
Well, 24th century basketball isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
Star Trek is more than just average television. I mean, I know I'm going to say that as a Trekkie fan. Everyone's like, yeah, of course you're going to say that. But Gene Roddenberry started out with a vision. He wanted to make television that broke barriers, was about social commentary, that got people to think, that widened people's minds. He didn't just want to make television that was financially successful.
Literary Treks.
I'm wondering if there's kind of a bit of a parallel there with Narinda and the totality not knowing what love is. You know, they just need a certain song sung to them. I want to know what love is. Something like that. Anyway, There you go. That's all you're
gonna
get out of me.
I was waiting for that. And I watched you hesitate, like, am I going to do this? And boom, you went there. I loved it.
Standard orbit.
What lends credibility to all of this is these were concepts that came up from the writers at the time. It's not you and me saying, hey, what if we do this? What if we do that? Which I'm sure would be extraordinarily entertaining for our listeners. But, you know, when you're actually looking at things that... you know, were written out by the writers at the time, you see the similarities, and you see the struggle with creativity in time.
Earl Grey.
You know, out of all this, I mean, you can see throughout the whole entire episode, you see the frustration that Data's going through, trying to go through these protocols that I'm sure he's going through, and then he has to actually choose some kind of violence in order to get his point across. Like, hey, you need to go.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose message to a trek.fm show and select to the journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. Well, Zachary, when you're not bartering away your stash of Leola root for a new transport, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there. And you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne? When you're not filling in for Naomi Wildman as Captain Seven's assistant, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me popping up in the Babel Conference every now and again. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network through Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of time and money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, we do have a few people we would like to thank. The first being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who incidentally looks a little bit like the Romulan commander in Admiral Janeway's fleet.
Well, now that you mention it.
Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shematala, our Patreon manager. Also, a very big thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we'll be going shopping for a certified pre-owned starship. But until then, this has been To the Journey.